Last week I had Eric Stromsa to be my helper for something. Is Eric in the room? Is he? Okay, Eric, come on, come up. I want to clarify something because we made a really good point and you were so helpful last week at making this point. I didn't even have to hardly say anything. But then I thought, well, I didn't say some things to be able to clarify a few things. So maybe I left someone confused. So last week we were talking about the importance of repentance. And we said repentance really is three words. Anybody remember what repentance is? Stop if you're heading in the wrong direction. Turn around and run. And we said, well, if that's the gate of hell down there in that dark area, and there was a really beautiful girl standing next to it, and even before I got any further, you turned around and were going the other direction. So I want to clarify something. It's not the beautiful girl that needs to be run from. It's the fact that she was standing right by hell. And she was facing hell. So let's act something else out here. If that's hell, in the center of the room is Jesus in heaven, we want to stop moving towards hell. We want to turn away from hell. We want to run towards Jesus. But as you're running towards Jesus, if you happen to notice that there's other people also running towards Jesus, and one of them just happens to be a girl, you might think, wow, she's going towards Jesus too. I wonder if maybe we could help each other run towards Jesus and get there better, get there quicker. So we're not anti-beautiful girl, we're anti-beautiful girl standing right outside the gates of hell. And we're all about girls who are running towards Jesus. And if you're fortunate enough, like myself, to find the most beautiful girl on campus who's also running towards Jesus, by all means, run beside her. But if she pulls that one thing about pretending to sprain her ankle and needing you to help her, then you'll get a little wary about that. But we're not anti-girl. We're pro-girl. We're pro-marriage. We're pro-man and woman meeting each other and raising godly families. And so run towards Jesus, and as you're running, it's okay to look around and see who's also running towards Jesus. Okay. I wonder why he has nothing to say. It might be because they told him, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. I'm not going to embarrass you, but maybe I did already. I wanted to make that point of clarification because I think there's a misunderstanding in our culture that marriage is something that should be put off as long as possible. And we are pro-marriage. We are pro-young men and young women meeting each other and discerning God's leading and prompting. And if they're called to partner together, by all means, pursue marriage. Once you're an adult, you don't need to linger and wait, but seek the will of God. I want to talk more about seeking the will of God, pursuing God, becoming like Christ today. We're on this series this fall of having growing Christianity in ourselves and in our community and becoming like Christ. One aspect of this growing Christianity is becoming like Him in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. So let's pray that God would open our hearts and our minds to understand His Word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for the miracle to take place, the miracle of revelation, that Your inspired Word would become alive and active to us right now, that we'd perceive You in it and through it, that Your truth would cut through the misunderstandings that our world propagates, and that we would come into a full encounter with You and Your reality. Watch over everything that I think and say and do, and guide the reception that takes place in this room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. a football player does more than just run through the plays in preparation for the game day. A football player does more than just stand where they're supposed to stand and run where they're supposed to run and practice reaching their arms up and catching the ball. They do more than just running the plays and trying to memorize the signals, the names for each play. They also do things like run laps around the track. They do things like hit the weight room and do bench presses. Or they even think about what they're eating and try to really have a high protein intake as they continue to strengthen their muscles. Now, none of those things are actually done during the game. They don't, during the game, get down on the ground and pull out a bar and start pressing it up a few times. In the game, they don't suddenly run off and go around the track a few times. And usually you don't see them stopping and eating a hamburger in the middle of the game. They do all those other things to get ready for the game. They do these things of disciplining their body and even buffeting their body so their body will be ready for the competition on game day. Likewise, we as Christians, we do things in preparation for the competition that's in front of us. We do things to prepare ourselves for the day of the game. We do things that get us ready for when the ball is kicked and the game is in play. We want to be ready for what Christ has for us in any certain moment in time. We call these things spiritual practices or even spiritual disciplines. Numerous things listed in Scripture, explained in Scripture, that we do so that we can become more and more like Jesus. More and more like Jesus. More and more like Jesus. So I want to encourage you to be thinking about what you're doing daily and how it's readying you for how you will succeed in not just the game of life, but the whole competition, the whole experience of living for Christ. I was visiting with my older son, Aaron. He's a youth pastor down in the Twin Cities, and he was telling me what he was teaching his kids this past Wednesday. I said, well, that's really interesting because I have a sermon that I'm working on that's kind of related to that. And he was teaching his kids about six spiritual disciplines that he wanted these teenagers to be working on. And they were prayer, scripture, living in community with other believers, worship, confessing our sins, and service to others. Those are spiritual disciplines so that we can become more like Jesus, more spiritually in shape, ready for the game. Well, I want to encourage you to think about those and think about others as we think about the process of being transformed into the image of Christ. The call to worship verse was 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it uses this powerful language. We with unveiled faces are contemplating the Lord's glory. We're looking at, we're gazing upon, we're studying the glory of God as if we're looking into His face. And as we're doing that, as we're gazing upon Him, contemplating Him, thinking about Him, focusing on Him, we're being transformed into His image. And this next phrase I want you to think about, because this is a challenge for you and for me. It says we're being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. That means you, to an ever-increasing degree, are more and more like Christ, experiencing more and more of His greatness, more and more of His characteristics, more and more of His attributes. You becoming like the one you're staring at, gazing upon, worshiping, so that there's actually more of the glory of God on display in you. You are called to be reflections, reflectors of the glory of God. You never have glory self-produced, but the more you spend time gazing upon, contemplating the face of Christ, the more His glory fills you, radiates you, so that you reflect the glory of God to the world around you. I encourage you to raise your standard, raise your sights to what Christ has intended for your life to be like. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis. It's chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. This is where it all starts, isn't it? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" What is God saying? He's saying, "I made you in my image. I made you in my likeness. I made you to be reflections of me here on the earth. And then I gave you this job to do." And sometimes we focus on just the job, saying, "Oh, I've got to establish my kingdom here. I've got to have dominion here." But think of it more this way. Think of it as a farmer who cares for the land, or think of it as a park ranger who cares for the preserve, or think of it as a gardener who cares for the extensive estate of the kings and all the gardens and beautiful plants. Our role is to exercise dominion under His headship, so that we are extending His rule over all of creation. And as we do so, we are God's representatives on the earth, carrying out the will of God, increasing the glory of God, and becoming more and more like the God we represent, reflecting His likeness and His image as male and as female, exercising dominion over the earth. It's not merely ruling. It's certainly not a selfish ambition. It's us serving under the glory of our King. As we do that, our hope is that every sphere of society will be impacted by the body of Christ, by the believers in Jesus Christ, by those who are reflecting Christ and being transformed into the image of Christ. They talk about there being seven spheres of our world and of our society: business, education, medicine, entertainment, politics, and two more I'm forgetting at the moment. But every one of those spheres, we want to be influencing for the glory of Christ. We want to be stepping into them and saying, "God's will is that these areas would be conformed to God's plan, God's desires, God's goals, God's values." So we move into them. And we bless believers who take those bold steps of moving into those areas. Your calling is high as you become like Christ and reflect His glory in the world. Our gospel reading for today is Jesus as He washed the disciples' feet. It's hard to imagine a more humbling thing that Christ could have done. This is taken from John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. "When He, Jesus, had finished washing their feet, He put on His outer clothes and returned to His place. He said, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus set us an example of what we should do, that we should do as he has done. What does it mean to be like Jesus? Well, one of the aspects of it is right here. It's being a servant, a humble servant to those around us. This is one of the aspects of Christ's likeness. Have you washed anybody's feet lately? Maybe you've washed a little child's feet who was out in the mud or got themselves into some kind of mess. But have you? How about an adult? Have you washed any adults' feet lately? Have you washed anybody's feet in your family? Have you washed your spouse's feet lately? Have you washed anybody's feet in the church? What about out in the greater society? What about your coworkers? Have you washed feet? Some churches actually have adopted this as a practice, as a way of acting out this serving of one another. Have you ever experienced that? I have a few different times. It's a humbling thing. One of the times I did it was in Brazzaville, and I was able to serve this old pastor. He had the most scarred up feet I'd ever seen. You would think he'd walked around barefoot for 60 years on African dirt paths or something, because his feet were so beat up. And I thought about how these feet had carried the gospel to different places, and I washed his feet. And I know that he cleaned up before coming to our meeting, so I got him on a good day. But how about opportunities for you and for me to humble ourselves and serve one another? If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be foot washers, serving one another in true humility, honoring others above ourselves. And then our epistle lesson for today is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting to read at verse 11. It says, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be shepherds, and some to be teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There are some powerful words there. What are the things that are to take place as we are on this journey to become more like Christ in thought, word, and deed? Well, we see that we're growing in our unity of faith, our unity in believing the truth about Christ and about God's plan of salvation and about how we live that out. We're growing in that unity of faith. We're secondly growing in a knowledge of the Son of God. There's truths about God that we want to be growing in. There's a body of truth that we want to be absorbing. We don't want to be like little kids who are tossed to and fro and caught up in one person's grandiose idea or another person's wild scheme. We want to be knowing the truth, increasing in our knowledge, so that we're becoming more and more like Christ. Thirdly, it says, into mature manhood, or for the women in the room, mature womanhood. We're growing to maturity. Maturity. Mature people are able to look to God and seek God and listen to God, know that they need God. This fall season, I'm one of the teachers for our Thursday release time instruction. It's where kids come out of the Fertile Beltrami School and they come across the street to meet in the classrooms of Concordia Church. And I really appreciate Jane Updall's leadership in organizing this. And she's another one of the teachers there. And some people from Hope Evangelical Free Church are filling in the staff there. So we're using Concordia's building, and it's people from our church and Hope Church doing the teaching. And these kids are coming across to hear the truth of Christ. But some of them are so immature and so distracted, and I think even so demonized, they cannot receive what they need to receive. And I say this for a couple of reasons. One, big one, is to ask you to be praying every Thursday from 1 to 3 for this grand opportunity that these immature people would be able to calm down enough to hear the truth of Christ and receive it. And pray for us teachers that we continue to be gracious to them. There's one kid I actually had to take out of the room two Thursdays ago and have him sit by the scary other teacher, Shelley. And this past Thursday, I said, I'm going to keep this kid in my classroom no matter what. Well, I kept him, but I had to kill him in order to keep him there. But it was tough because he was so immature, unable to know that he needed what was being given as we read the scriptures together. And so many of us have areas of immaturity, areas we're not aware of. We want to be people growing in Christ's likeness. It's the unity of faith. It's the knowledge of the Son of God. It's becoming mature manhood. This next one ought to cause us to stop and marvel. It says we are to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You are to be growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Don't settle for anything less. Have that grand vision. Have that as your goal. Wake up every morning, look in the mirror and say, I want to become as much like Christ today as I possibly can in what I think, in what I say, in what I do. I want to reflect Christ in thought, word, and deed. I want to be like Him. I can almost picture myself walking into the bathroom and having a cutout of Jesus there so I can come in, look in the mirror and realize, I need to stand up a little straighter. If you, what I'm supposed to be looking like, I need to think a little higher. I need to trust a little more. I need to grow a little deeper. I want to compare myself to Christ. I want to set my eyes on Jesus. He's the one I should be focused on and following each day, becoming like Him. And it goes on to talk about speaking the truth in love and growing up into Christ and this mutual edification that the body does and how we build ourselves up into love. It's this becoming a mature, perfect man in the sense that we're more and more like Christ until one day we reach the completion of this journey. One day we become like Him in fulfillment. One day we become like Him in completeness. It's not going to happen this side of heaven, but it's going to happen. Romans 8:29, in conclusion, we see that God is making us like Christ. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. That's you and me on this journey towards Christ likeness. We can't do it in our own strength, but every day we call out and say, God, make me like Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit so that Jesus is living through me, so that the things I say, the things I think, the things I do bring you glory because they're coming from you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we first of all confess that we have at many times had our sights set too low. We've settled for being like the people around us. We've settled for being like the world. And at our best, at times we said, well, if we're just a little bit better than the world, then that's enough. But Lord, we today affirm that it's our desire to join you in your plan of redeeming us completely, so that we become more and more like you and are actually living up to our calling to be made in your image, in the likeness of God. We want to be on this planet under your authority, exercising your authority as we have dominion over every area of society, influencing this lost world so that they recognize their need for you. Lord, make us like you in how we love each other, how we serve each other. Make us like you in how we know the truth and aren't led astray by the winds and schemes and the cunning of the people around us. Make us like you in the way we're pursuing holy living, turning away from sin, but more importantly, turning towards you and putting on your character, your values, your priorities. Make us like you in the way we let your love flow through us to the people around us. Make us like you in that we say your words of truth, your words of encouragement, your words of edification. Make us like you at home and at work and out in the community. Make us like you. Make us like you, Jesus. We give ourselves fully to you. Live inside of us, we pray, conforming us to the very image of God. In Jesus' name we pray.